music and talk radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. This episode is produced in partnership with West Coast Women in Engineering, Science, and Technology.
This is the Best of the West, inspiring women with real stories, hosted by West Coast Women in Engineering, Science, and Technology.
Hello and welcome to Best of the West. I'm your host, Danielle, and today we're speaking with Alexa Bailey, who is the founder of the Girls to the Power of Math program. Alexa is a grade 9 student with a love of math who decided to do some research into whether gender influences confidence in math for elementary students from kindergarten to grade 7. Her study found that there was a statistically significant loss in math confidence for girls by grade 6, while they remained confident about most other subjects. Boys, on the other hand, maintained a level of confidence in math across grades. Once she identified this confidence gap, she was determined to help find a solution. Alexa started the Girls to the Power of Math program, which provides girl-to-girl math mentorship that includes fun, creative, and interactive activities to boost girls' confidence in math. Welcome to the podcast, Alexa.
Hi, Danielle. Lovely to be here.
Why don't you tell us a bit more about the Girls to the Power of Math program?
Girls to the Power of Math is an early intervention program targeting grade 3 girls. I decided to target grade 3 girls for a couple of reasons. The first is that I want to instill confidence in math at a young age. Also, I want to target something simple that lends itself to interactive games. So we are targeting multiplication. The single most important thing about this program is not skill building. It is giving girls a memory of having fun while doing math.
Awesome. That sounds really excellent. Why did you decide to start this program?
"I'm just not good in math" is a sentence that comes out of many people's mouths as a plain old fact, and most of those people are females. If we were to hear that about reading, there would be alarm bells going off and intervention would be put in place. In math, on the other hand, it seems acceptable in our society to be bad at math. Everyone can get math and numbers, and math is kind of cool. It's part of our everyday lives. For example, art, music, construction, and more.
Yeah, absolutely. Were there any key people along the way who helped you out with this?
I first want to acknowledge my parents. They saw I was good at math from a young age, and they encouraged me even when my teachers didn't. When I came home complaining I was bored, my dad started showing me complicated but fun games and math puzzles. My mom would take days off work to come into school to administer the Caribou Math Contest to anyone at my school who was interested. It's funny, but for a while there, it was just me and a bunch of boys doing the contests, but eventually more girls joined. I also want to thank SWIST, who has been super supportive, Dr. Tony Schmader, who helped me with the research, Dr. Andy Barron, who is helping me evaluate the effectiveness of the program, and all of the folks at Engendering Success in STEM Consortium.
Wow, that sounds like quite a crew. You've got a nice posse behind you. What has been one of the most memorable moments so far in this project?
I wish you could hear the girls' screams of laughter when we run the group. There are many memorable moments, but it's when I see the girls laughing and smiling and having fun while doing math that I know that I'm accomplishing something good.
That sounds pretty memorable. Do you wish that there was a program like this when you were younger?
In a way, yes, because I think it definitely would have been fun to see older girls enjoying math and showing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Alexa, share with us some of the stuff that you've learned along the way in developing a project like this.
This project is a lot of work. I've learned that I have to share the load or I might just break down. I'm working on getting the word out and collaborating with organizations who might be able to help with the administrative part. It's hard to organize the program within the limits of a school, where I have to work on the availability of space and time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think anyone listening has been a part of leading a nonprofit or volunteering on anything that they care about. They run into that constant balance of, I care about this thing so much, but I also have a life.
Yeah.
So you're in high school now. What's it like?
I really wish we had more hands-on learning in school. To be very honest, I was a little disappointed with the math and science program at my school. I think we could be doing a better job in instilling a sense of fun and passion in kids in this area.
Yeah, do you think that's really important for kids these days?
I do, yeah. I definitely learn better if I'm working with my hands and I actually am having fun rather than reading from a textbook and just trying to memorize the dates of when something happened.
I'm notoriously terrible at history just for that reason. But I've also figured out that along the way, I figured out I'm a visual learner. Like I have to see things physically or, you know, represented physically. I can't just read about them. What ways do you like to learn?
I like building things. I like doing experiments. I like research projects a little bit. I get to do my own research a bit and then I present to the class and we talk about it. I like big discussions too. Those are fun. Yeah.
So now that we've acknowledged, you know, you're in high school and you're running this program, how do you balance those two things? I know you already said it's been a bit of a struggle, but tell us more.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. I'm not really sure if I would say that I'm balancing it. I don't really sleep. Kidding, but I try to take this on one day at a time. I'll admit that it's a lot to balance running and developing Girls to the Power of Math and taking on an advanced course load and also finding time to just have fun and hang out with my friends. If any of your listeners would like to help in this respect, feel free to reach out.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure some of them will be excited to hear all about this. So you talked about being good at math pretty early, but have you always enjoyed math or even just STEM fields in general?
Yeah, I've always really liked math. I remember when I was little, I loved to build things. Lego was definitely my favorite toy because I got to be creative and I got to make stuff with my hands. And then as I got older, I liked to solve problems. I remember when I was 8, I wanted to play badminton with my friends, but we didn't have a birdie, so I decided to make one.
Nice.
I took a rock and covered it in cotton swabs, taped that up, and added some paper at the end.
Nice.
Surprisingly, it actually worked for a while.
Very good. Creative solutioning. Do you know, I know this is like the million-dollar question for you right now, do you think you'll want to study a STEM field in the future?
I don't know what the future will bring, but I'm sure that I will be doing something in math and science. I've always been fascinated by engineering. I'm also concerned about our climate emergency, and I'd like to start learning about ways that technology can address that issue.
Yeah, absolutely. That must be a pretty hot topic with you and your friends at school.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
Yeah. So, in your somewhat expert opinion, why do you think girls aren't choosing STEM as much as boys do?
I can tell you that personally, I've experienced bias since a very young age from my teachers, both male and female, and my classmates, that girls are not as good as boys in math. It might have been subtle, but it was there. I think I was resilient because I had good female role models who displaced the stereotype that girls aren't good at math. I also wonder about how much people understand that STEM is about helping people. I think girls are attracted to the idea of helping others. I know I am. STEM, aside from medicine, doesn't have an image of a helping profession, but it is, and I think that could change with a little bit of clever marketing.
Absolutely. And we feel the same way at West. We're working a lot on helping to market those engineering professions in a more inviting way and in a way that shows how it's helping people. Let's say possibly soon after this podcast is released, we've got some publications that are coming out to communicate about different engineering fields to parents, teachers, and youth. So hopefully there'll be more I don't know, engaged with what engineering is. Because as you said, it's about problem solving and helping people.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I'm excited for it. But back to you. What can we do about those kinds of bias issues that are keeping girls from choosing STEM?
Show people the concrete impact STEM-related fields have on making people's lives better. And give girls the opportunity to learn from female mentors. And most of all, refuse to accept the statement, I'm just not good at math.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that should be alarm bells to alongside reading. I think that would be really good. We're going to get a little negative just for a second, as we usually do on the podcast, because not everything is rainbows and sunshine. Do you have any negative experiences that you have had at school related to math or STEM?
My grade 5 teacher suggested to my mom that I wasn't one of the best in math because I wasn't the fastest. The fastest kids were the only ones who could access the challenge questions. I was held up because I took my time getting the right answer and because my classmates asked me to help them. The funny thing was, it was only the boys that were in that fast group, and therefore they were the only ones to access the fun, challenging questions. My mom would not take that as an answer and provided the teacher with a bunch of articles about the differences in styles of learning between boys and girls. That's the year she came in to do the math contest.
High five to your mom. Yeah. That's absolutely true. There's so much research showing that there is not an academic performance or intelligence difference between boys and girls.
Yeah.
And I think you really got to the heart of it with your study, looking at confidence, because that's really where the difference is. So let's get a little more fun again. What's your favorite thing about math?
I think it's really cool that there's an answer to the problem, or at least a way of finding a solution. I think it's fascinating how mathematical the world is, looking at the symmetry in a flower or a shell, or the way that Google finds what we want. Mm-hmm. Math is involved in all of this. I really love solving problems. I find it fun to find the answer. It gives me a sense of satisfaction when I do. And as I said before, I really love building things and using my hands and that creative aspect of it.
Yeah, that sounds pretty great. That's a lot of good things to love about math. So back to the Girls to the Power of Math program. What impact do you hope that that program will have?
I hope that the girls who do the program will leave with the idea that math can be fun and that they can see cool girls from high school who like math. Maybe one day, if they are feeling some math anxiety, they will think back to grade 3 when they were in Girls to the Power of Math and think, but hey, I remember that math can be fun.
Yeah, I think that's a good impact to strive to have.
Mm-hmm.
So following up on that impact question, how do you think the Girls to the Power of Math program will grow or change in the future? Or maybe how do you hope it will grow and change?
I will be finishing the pilot program in December 2019, and I'll be spending the beginning of next year in an expansion project. I would like to make up kits and a website so that anyone can run the program themselves. This project is for sharing. Wouldn't it be great if every high school ran a Girls to the Power of Math group for their sister elementary school? I hope that there could be a program run out of every school. Mm-hmm. To do that, I'll need some organizational help and working on that.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's a really great way to approach this. We like to encourage open source resources to be created in our community to help make differences. Because often there's a lot of people who are curious and want to help but don't know how. Yeah. And you've already spent all this time and energy and sleepless nights figuring it out. So why not share?
Right? Yeah.
So when you do find some downtime between all of these things that you're balancing, what do you like to do for fun?
Well, besides what you might think, I'm not your typical math nerd. I'm involved in improv. I play basketball and softball, and I've just joined the school's girls' hockey team. I've never skated or played hockey before, so it's going to be exciting. An interesting experience. I like to ski, both cross country and downhill, and I play piano and fiddle in my spare time. And I like making art projects and taking photos.
Awesome. Yeah. So you're really short on interests. That's clear. I don't know how you're going to fit all those things in, but it's great to have a diverse set of interests. And yeah, I don't think I had any preconceived notion because
no.
I know math nerds come in all shapes and sizes. All right, we're going to start the lightning round questions now. These are just short little questions, whatever pops into your mind. First question, cats or dogs?
Dogs for sure.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a dog?
Yes, I do. I have a puppy. Well, I guess she's not a puppy anymore. She's almost two. Her name's Mosey.
Lovely. Okay, you're on a desert island and you can only bring three things with you. What would they be?
A book, matches, and a Swiss Army knife.
Very practical and entertaining. I like it. What was your last Halloween costume?
I painted a lampshade with weather-related things on it, and I put it on my head, and I was under the weather.
That's great. Which person, dead or alive, would you most like to meet?
I think I would like to meet the author of All the Light We Cannot See, Anthony Doerr. I really enjoyed his book.
Yeah, what kinds of things would you like to ask?
Ooh, tricky. Where he got the inspiration for his book.
Well, that sounds like it would be a very interesting meeting. If you had to choose one food to eat for the rest of your life, maybe without health consequences, I seem to need to say that on this podcast, what would it be?
Well, I was going to say pizza because I can put anything on pizza and it can be semi-healthy if I wanted it to. But without health consequences, oh, I don't know. Something spicy, pad thai.
Ooh,
or nice. Indian food.
Yeah. Good choice. All right, Alexa, you survived the lightning round. We'll stop grilling you. All right, as we finish up, what advice do you have to give to girls in elementary school?
Stay in math. If you feel anxious about it, find a mentor to help you. Don't give up. Reach out to Girls to the Power of Math and we'll be happy to help.
Yeah. So speaking of which, where can people get in touch with you or find out more about Girls to the Power of Math?
The best way is by Instagram and our YouTube channel. If you just Google Girls to the Power of Math, you'll find it. Also, if you want to contact me personally, my Girls to the Power of Math email is Alexa, A-L-E-X-A, at girlstothepowerofmath.ca.
Nice. Awesome. Well, we will put all of those links in our show notes as well. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today and saying yes. You're our youngest guest so far.
thank you for
braving the microphone.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to keep up with all the latest news on women in STEM, you can visit us online at wwest.ca. There, you can subscribe to our bi-weekly newsletter, connect with us on social media, and more. From everyone at West Coast Women in Engineering, Science, and Technology, thanks for listening.
The staff and volunteers at CJSF wish you a fun-filled Kwanzaa and a Happy New Year.
This is the Best of the West, inspiring women with real stories, hosted by West Coast Women in Engineering, Science, and Technology.
Hello and welcome to Best of the West. I'm your host, Danielle, and today we're joined by Gila Pirmarati. Gila is an industrial engineer who has her PhD in mechatronic systems engineering from Simon Fraser University. Passionate to utilize her research in industry as a business process analyst, Gila helps the City of Vancouver's business units identify potential areas for improving effectiveness and efficiency of their processes and value streams. As an advocate for women's empowerment, Gila joined as a board member at the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology in 2014 to help shape new ideas for professional development of women in STEM. She also helps the American Society for Quality analyze membership data and increase value to quality management professionals. Welcome to the podcast, Gila.
Thank you so much, Danielle.
Why don't we start with you telling us a bit about what occupies your days?
Sure. So I work at the City of Vancouver, and I'm a part of a business unit that is providing consultancy to the entire city. In terms of going into each of the business units, finding what are the current state of their processes, you know, usually when there's headache at work, it's about processes, not the people. Mm-hmm. And we have to articulate that first of all for the people and then help them revise their processes, identify what are typical areas of waste, such as extra waiting time, missing information, duplicates, and such, in order to improve them. So that's what I do on a daily basis.
Potential areas for improving effectiveness sounds very interesting.
Absolutely.
How did you end up at your current position?
Oh, okay. So
Industrial engineering is all about optimization and kind of how to improve things. So that mindset had helped me already gain this kind of skills to revise and to identify opportunities for efficiency improvement from one point. And from the other point, the set of the people that I met throughout my grad studies in Vancouver and kind of the opportunities that I had for some informational interview and such all led me to find out service-based organizations like City of Vancouver are among the organizations that I like to work for more than manufacturing typically. I mean, for me, it was the case. So all just one led to the other, and that's how I got this job.
Awesome. That's great. Leverage your connections and figure out what sectors you like to work for. That's all really good.
True.
So other than leveraging, you know, those people that you met during your grad studies, were there any other key events that helped you get to where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I remember, you know, in almost the end stage of my grad studies, I started volunteering with SQIST, Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology, as a means of leveraging some of my expertise, as well as gaining new skills, expanding my network, and also kind of exiting that comfort zone that I had in the PhD studies, and mainly because I was interested in connecting to industry people more than staying in academia. That volunteership opportunity so much expanded my horizons in many ways. And at the first, I was volunteering with the Immigrating Women in Science program, IWIS, which is mainly to support immigrating women in Canada to help them kind of have a smooth transition into the Canadian job market after immigration. Volunteering with that program helped me kind of shape ideas. Like now I have needs as a newcomer to Canada because I came to Canada in 2009. And after a few years, I was thinking, what are the best companies or best organizations in my own field? So in order to answer those type of questions, I wanted to meet new people, new professionals who knew the answers. And I was thinking, why not to bring those people as some kind of guest speaker to events that IWIS was holding in order for them to share ideas with other people like me as well. So that kind of event